The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. Today, we're going to be talking about general surgery options in Kingston and highlights of the trauma program at WMC Health and the advantages of community members to have both of these services close to home. And our guest is Dr. James Feeney. Dr. Feeney practices general surgery and surgical critical care at Health Alliance Hospital here in Kingston. So, Dr. Feeney, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Good morning, Vincent. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Dr. Feeney, tell us how you got inspired to become a general surgeon.
It's a really fun story for me anyway. I love to tell the story. I was a young teenager. I had no idea what I wanted to do in life. And I decided one day that I wanted to join the Marine Corps. And my father, being an old Navy, salty old Navy man, was very upset with me. He was so angry. And we kind of got into a big fight about it one day driving down 787 in Albany. And when I told him that I wanted to join the Marine Corps, he pulled over to the side of the road and said, get out of the car. So I said, wait, hold on. Just
good training
now.
For a would-be Marine though, right? Yeah. Out on your own on the road.
Yeah. I said, take it easy. He said, no son of mine is going to be a Marine. So I thought about it and I figured, you know what, a good compromise would be, I would go into the Navy as a Navy hospital corpsman, and the Navy hospital corpsmen all go with the Marines. They're the Marine Corps combat medics. And so that would satisfy my dad because I'd be actually in the Navy, and it would satisfy me because I would wear Marine Corps uniforms and be with the Marines. And while I was there, I discovered that I really enjoyed the work. I liked doing what I was doing. And I had a mentor whose name was Dr. Alex Shin. And one day he said to me, you know, you could do this. You could go to medical school. You totally have the ability to do it. You could really handle the workload. And I thought, I don't know, you know, I came from a railroad family. My family didn't go to college. We were blue collar working people. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought maybe I will. So I decided that day in Okinawa and Camp Schwab, in the regimental aid station, that I was going to go to college and go to medical school. And that's what I did.
Wow. That's quite a journey. So when you're a combat medic though, you're doing like serious emergency, basically getting the person in shape to be able to be transferred somewhere for more in-depth care. That's kind of like emergency room on the fly kind of work. So how does that translate to more complicated surgeries in your field?
Well, I had earlier in my career, I had been deployed to the first Gulf War. And I, to make a long story short, I had watched one of my teammates die from a friendly fire incident. And I thought to myself, you know, if I were just a little smarter, if I were just a little better, maybe I could have fixed that. You know, maybe I could have helped him. And so I started going through different education and training. And, you know, here we are 35, almost 40 years later, and I'm still chasing that guy. I'm still trying to save his life. And that's how you get from, maybe I could make it to medical school. Maybe I should be a paramedic. Maybe I could get my EMT to, okay, it's going to be general surgery. Okay, it's going to be trauma surgery. Okay, what about trauma critical care? So it's just kind of that kind of, oh, maybe just one more thing, and then I'll be smart enough to save this guy's life.
And so for, you know, for the layperson, including myself, who thinks, you know, about surgery as, you know, like kind of a special and it's specialized modality in terms of like heart surgery or cancer surgery, whatever it is, tell mm-hmm. us how general surgery fits into that and that role.
So general surgery is kind of like the start of it all, right? Everybody who's going to be a surgeon, they usually start as a general surgeon and then specialize from there. But the general surgeons will do things like trauma, which is pretty much any place from the neck down that has an immediate life-threatening injury that needs an operation. So if you've got a blood vessel that's severed, it's the general surgeon that's going to get there before the vascular surgeon. Or if you've got a stab wound to the heart, it's the general surgeon who's going to be doing that operation while you're waiting for a cardiac surgeon to get there. So it's pretty much in the elective world, if you came to a general surgeon, why would you come to a general surgeon? Things like gallbladder disease, hernias, different, appendicitis, different surgical issues that specifically involve the bowel or the stomach, the esophagus, et cetera, within somebody's abdominal cavity, as distinct from a thoracic surgeon who's going to work in the thorax and the chest, or a head and neck surgeon who's going to usually take care of head and neck cancers. The general surgeon is going to really focus on things that are happening in the abdominal cavity until you go to trauma, and then all bets are off, and you're just pretty much going to have to be able to take care of almost anything.
Yeah, and so general surgery, I mean, you really can't call it routine because surgery is never routine, right? And
True.
certainly trauma is, surgery is not. So, what are some of the surgeries and trauma program surgeries or program services available at Health Alliance?
So certainly there's general surgery. We also have thoracic surgery here, colorectal surgery as well. We have otolaryngology, which is ears, nose, and throat. And so that also often comprises more head and neck type related things. And also obviously urology and orthopedic surgery and gynecologic surgery. Are all available at WMC Health. It's a pretty broad array of specialists that are located here.
And do you also then bring in others from the larger network as needed in some cases?
Yes, many of those specialists are will move from, say, for example, Valhalla to Poughkeepsie and then up to Kingston, and at different days of the week or different periods of time, they will come from one institution to another to sort of make sure that the community has the services that they need with respect to operative services. If you need an operation up here, you might get somebody from Valhalla. You might get somebody who's primarily based only in Kingston.
And so we know that the Health Alliance Hospital went through a major renovation a few years back. And as I understand it, I haven't visited inside, that it has really sophisticated like technology and up to date. So is that the case? I mean,
It really is. It's
yeah.
gorgeous. It's really beautiful, and it's really state-of-the-art equipment. It's you couldn't really ask for a better facility and better equipment than has been built here by the WMC system. Honestly, it's when I came here to sort of interview for the job that I was getting, I looked around and I thought this is really a sea change from what it used to be. I mean, I grew up not far from here. I grew up in Coxsackie, and so I was familiar with the old Benedictine Hospital and Kingston Hospital, and I thought this is a world of difference. It's really beautiful.
And does trauma surgery have does it have like some kind of specialized equipment that doesn't that's not used in others? Is it a special surgical suite just for that kind of severe emergency?
We do that. We have specialized rooms in the emergency department for the patients when they first arrive with the trauma, and that's for their evaluation. And the imaging that we will often do for a trauma patient is set up so that it's very, very close to those suites, and then we get front of the line privileges as trauma personnel. So if somebody's injured enough to need the trauma room, they're going, if they need a CAT scan, for example, say, then they're going first. Everybody else is going to wait for a minute until our trauma evaluation is complete. And then the operating rooms are all set up to be optimized for trauma, but we do have one that we designate for the trauma operating room under normal circumstances. So it's available to us if we need it at any moment.
And so when I think about surgery, I mean, you know, think of the complexity of it and what can go wrong, in some cases. How does one prepare mentally and physically for that? Is it something like what, like an elite athlete might go through, that kind of, you know, you're it's a mental as well as a physical thing, focus?
It's definitely both a mental and a physical thing. From a physical perspective, sometimes these operations can last 6, 7, 8 hours, and there's no bathroom breaks, and there's no just, you know what, I really want to, you know, call my spouse and you know, let him or her know that I'm going to be late for dinner. There's none of that. It's just you're going, and that's your sole focus for the entire time that you're there. In addition to that physical component of it, there's definitely a mental component of it, and I think that's probably the hardest to teach, and certainly the hardest to master, because the physical component is really two different pathways. There's one of somebody's dying right in front of me, and I've got to do something right now to stop that process. And then you will often have to shift gears into okay, the immediate process of dying has been thwarted. Now I have to get into reconstruction mode and make sure that I can put things back together so that, you know, the person can leave the operating room and I don't have to be, you know, right here operating on them just to keep them alive. That's specifically for trauma. And I think it's hard to sort of have a game plan when you don't know what you're up against. And that's often the case. So for especially car crashes that need an operation that are so bad that the person needs to go to the operating room, or things like gunshot wounds or stab wounds where you need an operation immediately, I think it's really important to have about five or six different game plans that you know you can go down during the course of the operation, and to be able to move from one to the other without getting frustrated. Because once you get frustrated, then you're going to lose your focus, and that's when bad things start to happen.
Yeah, I remember studying with I studied with a Navy SEAL, former Navy SEAL commander called Mark Divine, who has a program now called Unbeatable Mind, and he talks about aligning your mental focus with your physical wellness, your emotional well-being, and your spiritual focus, to be able to stay in that zone to deal with situations better thrive under situations in which all hell is breaking loose in every direction.
Right. And I think psychologically, as the doctor, you just want everybody to get better. You want them to get better so badly. And you want your operation to go perfectly. And when it doesn't, you have to be able to accept that it's not going perfectly and shift gears. And that's the real skill, that you sort of lose that tunnel vision, that kind of, this is the way things are going to go. You can't get anchored to that. You have to be fluid.
Yeah, you'd have to take your ego out of it
You do.
and face reality head on. This is really fascinating.
And
Doctor,
I remember my one of my old teachers, who was my mentor when I was a resident, his name was Jesse Blumenthal. When I would start getting frustrated in a trauma, he looked up at me one day and he said, "You didn't shoot him, did you?" Well, okay, you didn't shoot him, so you're going to deal with what's happening and not what you wish was happening. There's nothing happening here is your fault. You fix them if you can. And I thought, oh, it
Great
just took all the
advice.
tension right off my shoulders and allowed me to focus on what was happening and respond appropriately.
That's so awesome. So, Dr. Feeney, this is a fascinating topic, and we all want to learn more about it. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs. life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on the Hudson Valley's Talk and Sports Network, The Beacon.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Today, we're talking about general surgery and trauma surgery with Dr. James Feeney from WMC Health, Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston. Dr. Feeney, before the break, we were talking about you know, what surgery is, what it involves, the complexity of it, and some of the mental and physical preparation that you as a surgeon have to do to really be on your game. Curious question, what was the most challenging surgery you've ever performed, or maybe a few of them? Do you have any that stand out in your mind?
Yeah, there's a couple. When I was in Afghanistan, we had a patient who was actually an Afghan good guy. And he had been shot through the top of his shoulder, down through his chest, down through his liver on the right-hand side of his body, all the way down to the top of his leg where the big blood vessels were. And we had to try to get control of all of the issues that were all of the issues that he had from that gunshot wound. It was one gunshot wound that kind of went straight from top to bottom. And I had a partner who was helping me, and he took care of the chest and I took care of the belly. And I was pretty sure that the patient was going to die. And I said to my friend who was another surgeon, I said, I'm pretty sure this guy's going to die. And I said, but let's give it a try anyway. And he said, okay. And the next thing you know, it was just like, okay, well, I got control of that. Okay, well, maybe just this one more thing. Well, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'll try it. And everything just started to work. And before we knew it, we were closing our incisions. And I just, you know, the lesson I learned from that patient was, you think you know what's going to happen, but you just really don't know what's going to happen. And people who look like they have no chance of survival, the only top point when they have no chance of survival is when we give up on them. And so you just got to keep swinging for the fence every single time.
Yeah, it's almost a metaphor for life itself, right? In the sense that really nothing in life is predictable, and it's subject to change without notice, right, at any given moment.
Right, very much so.
Yeah. So, doctor, for the benefit of, I've never had a surgery. Maybe I did when I was, I think I had my tonsils out when I was a kid. But thankfully, you know, blessing, I've never had to go in for surgery. How do you help patients who have never had surgery or don't, you know, enter this strange world that they know very little about and probably are scared out of their minds?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think what I try to do is be as transparent as I can about what is going to happen or what they're going to notice about what's going to happen. So I'm going to make incision here or a couple of little incisions here. Here's how we're going to do everything. Here's what you'll feel beforehand. Here are some of the people you're going to meet. And, you know, I will also tell them, I try to give them some statistics about, you know, what percentage of people have a problem. And usually for the elective stuff, it's very, very low. If we're going to the operating room for something that is very much life-threatening as an emergency, I will tell them, I don't know how things are going to go, but I'm going to be right here with you the whole way. And you have my promise. I will do my level best to get you through this. And I think that helps to tell people the truth. Nobody wants to hear, oh, you're going to be fine, because they know when they're sick and they know when they're not going to be fine. So try not to lie.
I would be more confident in someone who's being square with me than, you know, than sugarcoating it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So doctor, you've been practicing for quite a while. How have you seen surgical technology evolve over those years?
Oh, it's been absolutely incredible. And I'll cite two really amazing improvements. The first is a systematic approach that hospitals and physicians and nurses have taken towards improving patient safety. The systematic approach has been using things like big data, but also formalized performance improvement processes that try to kind of more mimic the non-punitive approach that the airlines take. We want psychological safety. We want people who are saying, wait a second, why are we doing it this way? Or did you remember to do this part of the operation or the preparation for the operation or that kind of thing? We want everybody to have a voice and nobody to be worried about when to speak up. And I think the big data approach allows us to be really frank and upright and sort of forward thinking about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And the formalized and systematic performance improvement allows us to feedback on ourselves and say, okay, we had a nice outcome, we had a good outcome, there weren't any problems. How do we make it better? How do we make it better? And I think that has been an enormous improvement over the 30 years that I've been involved in medicine since I started medical school. Now, that sort of whole process of how do we make it better, what it used to be was, if you have a problem, if you have a complication, hide it so nobody knows, so you don't get in trouble. And that has all pretty much vanished. The second thing I would say, and this is a pure tech issue, is robotic surgery. Robotic surgery is a complete game changer. It is much less pain for the patients. Laparoscopic surgery was a giant leap forward, and robotic surgery is yet another leap forward from that. Many things you can do laparoscopically, and the difference between that and a robotic operation, the same operation done robotically, is really minimal. But the robotic platform allows you to do a lot more things minimally invasively through tiny, tiny little incisions than you used to be able to do. You could just reach better, you can operate better, and you can accomplish the operation that you would never have been able to accomplish minimally invasively before. So those are two ways that have really changed what we're doing in operating rooms all across the country and at Health Alliance too.
Yeah, and that concept of seeing that problems and potential and failures are learning opportunities to do it better and get better, and that they the businesses that do that better than others really outcompete their rivals, right? And so, yeah, that continuous improvement is so important. So, doctor, we have about a minute and a half left. Tell us what you find most rewarding about being a surgeon, and then we'll go to how folks can get in touch with you.
I think the most rewarding thing about being a surgeon is that you can give people their lives back. This is a very much a seat of your pants, like you've got a problem and we can fix it and it's going to be fixed fast. This is not a, I'll give you a medication to manage your problem for the rest of your life. This is, I can fix this when you can. It's, I can fix this for you and I can do it, in a day in an operating room. And that's so rewarding. And for people like me with short attention span and, and it's a need for instant gratification, let's fix this now. Let's not wait around for, 10 years and see what we can manage. And it's we can do it with minimal pain now, and we can do it with very, very little incisions and things like that. So that is so rewarding to be able to offer that to people who are suffering.
Yeah, it's so great too. So much of my work is abstract that sometimes there's certain days or weeks I go home and I think, what the heck did I even do this week or this today? It's like you don't see the immediate results, and that's
Yeah,
really
I love
very
that.
rewarding. Yeah.
I tell my medical students too, if you're that kind of person and you're going into internal medicine, you might not be happy.
So, Dr. Feeney, in a few seconds we have left, tell us how folks get in touch with you and learn more.
So I'm available. I'm seeing new patients. I'm at Health Alliance. Here at the hospital, my office is right across the little parking lot on 117 Mary's Avenue. And, my phone number is, can I give out my phone number? Is that
Yes, please
okay?
do. Yeah,
All
yeah.
right. It's 845-383-1759.
Well, thank you. That's great. Thank you so much, Dr. Feeney, for the work that you and your colleagues do on behalf of all of us and our community. We really appreciate you and your work.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.